Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the Big Ticket, Variety, and iHeart's movie podcast. I'm your host, Mark Malkin. Today, I have a very special guest. It's Variety's Deputy Awards Editor, Janelle Riley. We are, of course, talking about the Oscars. The big night happens on February 9th. Janelle and I talk about what we think will happen on the big night, what we think won't happen on the big night, what we think should happen on the big night. Of course, we're going to be discussing who and what we think will be taking home Best Picture and Best Director. Plus, what do we think about the Oscars going hostless for the second year in a row? I'll have that and a whole lot more coming up after the break. Stick around. Welcome back to The Big Ticket. I'm your host, Mark Malkin. Now, here's my chat with Janelle Riley. Hi, Janelle.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. Is this it? Are we starting?
We're starting.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay, cool.
So we're winding down.
Oh, hallelujah.
We're so close. This has been the shortest award season. I don't know if in history or not, but it's felt like, I mean, I'm exhausted.
No, Oscar nominations were only a week and a half ago. Doesn't it feel like 3 months?
I mean, it feels like Oscar nominations were being given out at camp.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean?
It's in a like way, they were, yeah.
The movies start playing and it's, you know, we're in that business. Mm-hmm. It's, okay, who's going to get nominated for Oscars? Who's going to get nominated for Oscars? I think at this point, though, I think the acting categories are pretty locked. So Renee Zellweger for Judy, Brad Pitt, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Laura Dern, Marriage Story, and Joaquin Phoenix, Joker.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm not going to argue with the SAG Awards. Or for that matter, they all won Golden Globes. Although, once again, the caveat, Golden Globe voters are not Oscar voters. But still, things have been lining up, like, a little too nicely this year.
Yeah, you know, but as we know, like, when it all first started, it was, you know, Brad Pitt, everyone was excited about, but then there was Al Pacino and Joe Pesci
right.
and Irishman, where everyone's right. like, oh my God, they're, you know, these are legends, and Joe Pesci came out of retirement to do this. You know, we have to honor him.
So good. Well, I do wonder if Joe Pesci had worked the circuit at all, if, you know, he would be picking up some of these awards. Right. I mean, obviously, he's getting critics' awards, and people love him. He didn't even go to the SAG Awards. He skipped the Golden Globes. I mean,
I was there at the premiere in New York, and
once again,
I
understand you get to go to fancy premieres and parties.
Don't even try, because you go to fancy premieres and parties too.
I do not. I hate the parking.
but yeah, I agree with you. I wonder if, you know, if he was on the talk show circuit, if he was doing late night, and, you know,
people love him. You know,
viral moments. For a campaign.
You know, he really. I mean, he still is giving Brad a run for his money, in my opinion. If anyone else is going to take it, it's him. But yeah, part of me wonders. I mean, he doesn't care. He's got his Oscar.
That's the thing. Yeah. And I think voters sit there and go, you know what? Joe Pesci doesn't care. We don't need to see him. Brad Pitt, though.
They want you to want it a little bit. Yeah. They don't want you to want it too much. They think that's tacky. But of course, everyone wants it. Yes. Give me a break.
Yeah. It's nice to be nominated, but it's even better to win.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the Best Picture race and the Best Director race.
Ooh.
These are the two that we don't really have a real sure shot of who's winning, do we?
Well, I'm stubborn. Mm-hmm. So I think we do, and I've thought so since September.
Right.
But logic would say otherwise.
So go ahead. Best Picture, what's your call?
You know, back when I called Parasite for Best Picture in September, so many people told me I was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of aggressively,
right.
too. And yes, I am, but I take wonderful medication for that. But they have really come around.
Mm-hmm.
And now people are like, yeah, it's absolutely possible to be the first foreign language film winner. That's really the only thing standing in its way, in my opinion.
But that's a pretty big thing.
Sure. Yeah. And, you know, obviously Roma, perception is it came very close to winning last year and was bested by Green Book. That had a little bit of the Netflix bias, I think, going for it. Also, it wasn't as accessible and fun as Parasite.
Sure.
So people use Roma as an example as to why Parasite can't win. I actually think Roma kind of paved the way for us to be ready for a Parasite win.
Interesting.
Yeah.
How so?
Oh, gosh. You know, you're going to make me actually show my work. No, I think it got people into the idea of like, yeah, it doesn't just have to be best foreign film.
Right.
You know, I mean, we say these things and we really don't know, but Roma came really close.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I think.
I mean, I think there were people who thought it could do it, but you know, we heard the same thing last year. Like, it's a foreign film. It's a black and white.
Oh, yes.
What was the narrative? It was just sort of this snapshot of Alfonso Cuarón's life.
Yeah.
But something like Parasite, not a big movie in terms of size and scope.
Right.
But themes and horror and comedy and, you know, there's a political thing going
and
on.
And shocks galore.
And I think, you know, it plays to a bigger audience than something like Roma.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that you take out, again, it's a huge aspect, the foreign language, but it really is kind of a perfect Oscar movie.
And the thing that I keep saying about Parasite that I don't say about any other movie this year, this is the one movie no one says anything bad about.
Right. And I was waiting for it. I do have to say, and this is, you know, the Twitter sphere.
Right.
I posted the other day, like, you know, usually when a movie starts winning things, people start trying to take it down.
Right.
You know, like suddenly 1917 is the worst movie ever made because it won the PGA Award.
Right.
Give me a break. And I was saying, like, no one's doing that with Parasite. Now, of course, Twitter likes to correct me when I make statements like that. So there were all these people saying, oh, it's so predictable. And I'm like, really?
So not a predictable movie. I'm sorry.
Oh, you saw that coming? Okay.
I don't believe that. Whoever that bot is who said that to you.
It was actually quite a few people, but you're always going to find dissenters.
Yeah. I mean, listen, there was on Twitter, in comments on stories, when Parasite won SAG, there were people going, how could Parasite win SAG? It's not an American movie.
Oh, yeah. People were confused if they were SAG actors.
Right.
Yeah.
And they said, it's SAG is an American union. It's an American guild. SAG has members from all over the world. It's not just American.
Yeah, it's
So, you know,
we
do have to be careful about that Twitter, that social media outcry.
Right, because they will prove you wrong if you make a statement.
And is it just an organized minority of about five people?
Yes.
As, you know, listen, we all know it's easier for people to say something mean than something nice.
I thought, you know, I put out there that nobody could hate Baby Yoda, and Twitter found some people, so that'll show you they exist.
They do. So 1917.
Yes, great movie.
Great movie.
Won the PGA Award.
Do you think it's between 1917 and Parasite?
I do. I'm not completely counting out Once Upon a Time in Hollywood or The Irishman, but I think it really is down to those two. 1917 won the PGA Award. We'll see who wins DGA this weekend.
Right.
If Sam Mendes takes DGA, I think it gives 1917 the edge.
Right.
But right now I'm really being stubborn about thinking Bong Joon-ho takes it.
And it's really kind of crazy when you think about the movie that, if it's 1917 or Parasite, no acting nominations.
Right.
Best picture, but where are the acting nominations?
Right, which hasn't happened since Slumdog Millionaire,
So explain to people, how does that happen? How do you have a best picture, but you don't have the best actors in it?
You know, both those movies, 1917 and Parasite, have great ensembles.
Yep.
You know, I do think 1917, you know, it didn't get any SAG awards. It was a very late entry into the race. If it had screened sooner, maybe that would have changed things. Or maybe not. It was a crazy year. Look at those ensembles that were nominated.
Right.
I was sitting there. I was very happy when Parasite won, but I was like, you know, if Irishman wins, like, those are some of the greatest actors of all time.
It's not like, again, there's no really weird nominees in any of these categories. It's every once in a while something will pop in and you're like, really, that got nominated? But here it's, you know, if any of those films win Best Picture, it's not like there's an argument really that much to be made about, like, there's no way that's the Best Picture, so on and so forth. But, like, you know, going back to Parasite, it's like, I've just heard no one say every other movie, there's always like, I really liked it, but.
Yeah.
I really liked it, but. Nothing like that in Parasite.
And they do love that cast, which is why, you know, it was so great they got the ensemble nomination and win. And it's like, I guess, like, maybe the fact that no one actor jumped out, so they got the ensemble nomination, like, actually really speaks to how well-oiled that movie is.
Yeah.
Because you can't nominate all of them.
And then Bong, it's just, everyone loves him.
People love that guy. They line up to meet him.
I mean,
it's
to
insane.
Be around him, it's infectious.
It is.
Just, he's, I mean, for lack of a better term, it's That's exactly what it is. Yeah, he's having the best time, and he's sort of like, this is fun, and he's so happy for his ensemble.
Oh, my God, the photos of him taking photos of his ensemble. Yes. He's been doing that all season, actually. I remember.
He did it on our platform at SAG. I was interviewing all of them, and all of a sudden I look over, and there's Bong taking photos of them.
Someone needs to put together all of the photos and video Bong is taking, put it on the DVD Blu-ray.
That's actually a really good idea. Right now, we're going to take a short break, but when we come back, Janelle and I discuss another year of a hostless Oscars. Will it work? Find out after the break. Now, here's more of my chat with Janelle Riley. So let's talk about The Irishman. It got so much, I mean, before it even was released, before anyone saw it, it's Martin Scorsese. It's a movie he'd been working on for, what, 12 years or something like that? He wanted to get made. He brings together Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, Joe Pesci, and obviously so many others.
And most importantly, Ray Romano, who's becoming a great actor.
Ray Romano, who's fantastic. But it hasn't taken, I mean, nominations galore. Everywhere you look, there's a nomination. Critics groups have been loving it, but it's not winning the awards. What happened?
Yeah, I mean, I think it will walk away with some below-the-line awards and some big ones. I think it has a great shot at editing.
Yep.
Everyone loves Thelma Schoonmaker. God, I practiced saying that, and I still messed it up.
That's why you messed up, because you practiced.
It's so true. I know that Roger Deakins is probably going to win cinematography for 1917, but Rodrigo Pietro, who did Irishman, is so overdue, I feel. And what he did in this movie is astonishing. I think it has a good shot at adapted screenplay. Those big awards, though, that you talked about, it's just a crazy competitive year. Robert De Niro, doing like some of the best work he's done in 30 years, didn't even get nominated.
Right.
For Best Actor,
Golden Globe, nor Oscar.
Yeah. It's a little crazy. And he worked it, too.
And that, I mean, you know, coming out of when it first started screening and people first started saying, that was the name.
Yeah.
Yes, Pacino and Pesci, everyone talked about them. And then there was the argument, well, Al Pacino was sort of a lead actor also.
Like, I so disagree with that.
Really?
He doesn't even show up until 90 minutes into the movie.
Wow, it feels like he's part of the movie from the beginning.
Because he's that good.
He's that good, right. And then Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, obviously Brad Pitt. But we thought that would be getting more, too. And it's a lot of nominations, but the wins, not so much.
I mean, that's a lot of people seem to think it's the front runner for original screenplay. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I think I actually think Marriage Story has a really good shot in original screenplay. Yep. Parasite is nominated. And let's give Quentin Tarantino a directing Oscar. Mm-hmm. Stop giving him the screenplay Oscar. I mean, he's deserved his screenplay wins in the past. Right. Don't get me wrong. But, like, I just sort of feel like stop giving him the consolation prize. Right. The man deserves to win Best Director at some point.
And if he doesn't win Best Director, and he has talked about maybe retiring from directing.
I don't buy that.
Do you think he'll you know what? I'm going to take another shot at it.
Yeah.
And then obviously, you know, this year going into Oscars and so many other awards, lack of diversity. You know,
it's,
you know, and this is something that I just keep thinking about over and over again, like, how does it get fixed? And, you know, no one has an answer. No one has, you know, there's not a golden bullet. The Academy diversified its membership. Mm-hmm.
They really did take measures. I really respect what they tried to do. Yeah.
But that doesn't equal diversity in terms of the voting. Now, there's some talk like maybe people aren't voting. Those new members, they're younger. I don't necessarily think that. I just feel like if you got into the Academy,
You're
going to vote.
Although Mark Harris did say something about how a lot of people, oh gosh, I hope it was Mark, I'll feel guilty. I always default to Mark because he's genius. But he did say something about talking to voters and they didn't realize because of the shortened season, their ballots were due like the next day.
Right. And I think even Mark has talked about this. I've talked about this. It's like, then there's like, you know, we're taking a poll of Oscar voters.
Right.
There's 9,000.
Yep.
So there's a lot of people we don't talk to.
That's why when people say like, well, the Academy likes this, I'm like, you're talking about like six people you ran into at a party.
Well,
and I've been guilty of doing that too.
That's a whole other discussion. But I mean, when it comes to diversity, I think, you know, and I put blame on myself for this. I will take full blame, not for the lack of diversity at the Academy Awards.
That's what I thought you were saying. I was like, it's your fault.
No, but really supporting those movies that needed the extra support. And not just supporting them because, oh, it's a good story with people of color. Because they're great movies.
And there were so many this year.
Yeah, and like, you know, listen, and my example here is Lupita Nyong'o.
Mm-hmm.
Out of South by Southwest, that was one of the first stories that I wrote.
That's right.
She's going to be in the Oscar race. And then, you know, the movie came out really early, obviously, and it sort of just went away.
Yeah.
So whose responsibility is it to keep it part of the conversation?
Critics did support it. Yeah. You know, The Farewell was very supported by critics. You know, I thought A24 ran a great campaign. Yeah. I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, and I think, you know, they ran a great campaign, but... You know, and I wrote this in my column, I think it was last week. Imagine if The Farewell had the marketing budget of The Irishman.
Yeah.
I think we'd be having a different discussion about Oscar nominations.
It could be very discouraging.
Yeah. I mean, there's the money that's being spent. You know, it's not just Netflix. Everyone wants to say Netflix is spending.
Right.
You know, they definitely spending barrels and barrels of money.
On really good movies.
On really good movies. So, and other studios are doing it too. You know, Joker had a very aggressive marketing campaign. It made $1 billion.
Yep.
There's a reason for that. It's not, you know, reason it's, you know, people think it's a good movie, but also, listen, marketing, advertising, that all helps. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I mean, already talking about next year. Horrible.
I know,
horrible.
Right? We're seeing movies now in next year's race, and it's crazy to me.
Sundance is, you know, kicking off tonight.
Oh, is it tonight?
Well,
wow.
Yes.
Oh, gotcha.
Right.
Wink, wink.
Wink, wink. is kicking off tonight, Thursday.
That's right. Today is Thursday.
Yes.
The 23rd of January.
Yes. So... You know, people are already looking at Sundance. Like, what are the early front runners? Well, we knew last year, Farewell.
Yep.
Clemency.
Yeah.
I mean,
Clemency won big
at Sundance, and it just disappeared.
Well, it was a death penalty movie released on Christmas Day.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I never understood that, especially because it was ready to go.
Right. And Alfre Woodard, people were talking about.
Yeah.
Aldous Hodge, people were talking about. And then it just... went nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting to see next year. I think the studios have to take a really good look at themselves and look at, okay, you have a death row drama, small movie with not, you know, the huge A-list stars. Maybe we shouldn't release
October.
It at Christmas.
October looks good.
Same thing I think Just Mercy. I mean, Warner Brothers.
I don't understand why Just Mercy wasn't released sooner.
I don't get that either.
Jamie Foxx seemed like a shoo-in for a nomination for that movie.
As soon as that movie showed, I think it was Toronto. Yeah, Toronto was the premiere. Jamie Foxx, people were talking about Michael B.
Big crowd pleaser.
Yeah. Yep. And I watched it again the other night, and I was like, why didn't this movie have more traction? One, came out late, came out Christmas, you know, all black cast. I think it's a different marketing. It's a different plan of action that the studios have to pay more attention to.
I just saw someone saying something the other day about, like, why didn't you guys tell me how great Just Mercy is? I just saw it. And I'm like, well, that's the problem. You just saw it.
Right.
Like, don't yell at me that people didn't recognize it when you're just getting around to seeing it. And Oscar nominations were a week ago.
And now I wanted to touch on the hostless Oscars.
Oh, sure. Why, are you available?
No, because I am not a comedian. But Baby Yoda, as we have said, we think Baby Yoda should host the Oscars.
Yep.
Listen, you will get people to tune in.
He wouldn't even have to speak.
No, just put him on the stage.
Let Mandalorian
right,
do
just
all the talking.
Flash lights that say, it's the Oscars.
Yep. Do you know the ratings would go through the roof?
I think this year there's a real issue without having a host.
It feels weird. Like, last year was like,
last year it was the first time or the first time in recent memory or whatever that there was no host.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, okay, is this going to work? Everyone was tuning in to see if it was going to work. It worked. But I think this year we have a problem in the sense of, one, we know who all the acting categories are going to. People aren't tuning. We've seen the speeches. We've seen the Brad Pitt speech. We've seen the Laura Dern speech. We've seen the Renee Zellweger speech. We've seen the Joaquin Phoenix speech. You know, 1917 and Parasite, like we said, they're great movies. I don't think most of the American audience is running to go see them and is running to say, hey, I want to watch the Oscars for them. Because especially like we were just talking about, there's no actors who have been nominated for it.
They did nominate Taylor Swift for Best Song, so she won't be performing.
She won't. That didn't even make the short list. They didn't.
By the way, my feeble defense of Cats is that song did deserve to make the short list.
Why, I should have made the short list. Yeah. I agree with you. Beyonce, she could have been nominated for her song.
It's crazy.
You know, we're going to get Elton John. Very excited by that. We're going to get, who else is not? Cynthia Erivo.
Cynthia Erivo, yes.
Is just, you know.
First time and double nominee on her first time.
Yes,
yeah.
You know, and going back to diversity, the only person of color nominated in the acting category.
I know, that's right. Yeah.
You know, so just back to the host. I think we need a host to sort of have fun.
I have a great idea.
Go ahead.
Jennifer Lopez.
Wow, you just brought a full circle, didn't you?
I mean, first of all, she's a great host. You've seen her host Saturday Night Live.
But here's
the
problem, though.
Yeah.
The week before, she's doing the Super Bowl.
True.
So are we going to get Jennifer Lopez out? Like, is it just too much Jennifer Lopez? I can never get enough Jennifer Lopez.
Exactly. No. Think about what you just said.
Right.
And she can, you know, I mean, you know there's going to be comments about the diversity. Like, she can get out there in front of it.
Who's going to, and that's my next word. Who's going to do that? Who's going to do that commentary?
Do you think that's why they didn't want to host?
No. I think they did want to host. Mm-hmm. I just don't think anybody wants to do it.
It's a rough gig.
It's a rough
gig.
You
can't win.
You have to, you know, let's say someone comes to whomever for, okay, we want you to be the host of the Oscars. Well, that person better have like an FBI check done on
that. That's
because,
true, yeah.
You know,
and delete your tweets.
Delete your tweets. Yeah. And you can, by the way, you can't delete your tweets. They're there. Yeah. They live somewhere. And if someone wants to find them, they'll find them. So I just think a lot of people are just like, you know, they have to take a lot of time out of, you know, whatever their schedule is, has to be completely reconfigured. And it's kind of, you know, the cliche is it's a thankless job.
It is such a thankless. I mean, look at the people who have suffered in the past. David Letterman.
Oh, just really disasters. Yeah. But I think this year, especially because of the lack of diversity and the lack of, you know, female directors and... You need someone, whether they do it in a lighthearted way where, you know, it's zingers or, but will then, you know, will there be like a Natalie Portman moment at the Golden Globes when she said, you know, all these male nominees or Issa Rae saying during the nomination.
Congratulations to those men.
To those men.
Yeah.
Who's going to be that person to say it and make an impact too?
Yeah.
You know, I think Ricky Gervais tried to address it at the Golden Globes and the joke fell really bad. It was just like,
yeah.
It's just not a good joke. But you also can't do this Oscars without addressing it, right?
Yeah, I think at some point someone has to say something.
Right.
Yeah, and they know it's out there. And I mean, and also we know that this starts on the studio level. They have to green light pictures with people of color and female directors.
And then green light and then support.
Support.
Green lighting is not enough. You know, it's really like we go back to the conversation we're having about clemency and Just Mercy. Don't release those at Christmas.
So strange to me. Yeah. And you know, and I'm guilty of this too. I just recently rewatched a movie from last year, Fast Color, which was, you know, one of my favorite movies of the year. And I have not been talking about it because it was so long ago. Because I actually saw it in 2018 at South By, but it was released last year. And I was like, I thought I was doing such a good job getting the word out there.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, damn it, you know.
And listen, we, you know, the work that we do, we get caught up in, you know, the conversation. And when something's being marketed with a gazillion dollars, that's what's in your face. That's what starts getting the nominations. So if something's not getting the nominations, it sort of falls off the radar. But I think I'm trying to make a more conscious effort of saying, you know what? I want to support that. I'm not, again, I'm not just supporting it for the sake of supporting something.
Right.
It's something that...
It's a great movies.
Yeah.
So many great movies this year.
Lupita Nyong'o played two incredible roles in Us.
Yeah, she was fantastic.
You know, and she did get some nominations. She wasn't completely
ignored. She made it into SAG, which was great.
She made it into SAG. I think she could have easily had an Oscar nomination. And I don't know if that's because the movie was released so early or the genre. But yeah, it's just, it's going to be an interesting year. Unfortunately, I just don't think it's going to be highly rated.
Really?
Yeah, I just don't think people are going to tune in.
By the way, I picked what I think is winning Best Picture. Are you in agreement, or are you leaning towards 1917?
I'm leaning towards 1917.
Which is a very logical pick.
Yes. Yeah. You know, I was thinking about this morning when I was thinking about our conversation. Like, I want to see Parasite win.
Yeah.
One, I think it deserves it, but also it would be really pretty cool to see a foreign win in this.
How
climate.
Awesome. When it won SAG Ensemble, like the way people reacted, I was like, doesn't that feel good?
Yeah, it doesn't feel good, but, you know, you're talking about 9,000 voting members of the Academy. They don't all live in L.A. and New York. They're spread all over the world. You know, this is probably a conversation for another time, but I'll bring it up anyway. You know, I think the Academy has to look at their voting. They have to look at the system. You know, they're very church and state.
Yep.
You know, Price Waterhouse, they have the votes. The Academy never looks at them. But I think maybe getting in a third party to say, you know, what's going on here? You know, how are people voting? How does the Academy know that voters are watching the movies?
Well, you know, I have been shocked by how many people haven't seen Parasite yet.
Right.
Yeah, everyone says, oh, it's great, I'm going to get to it. You know?
So I think that's an issue for small, especially obviously for smaller films. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's close to 400 films that were eligible. It's not humanly possible unless you just don't work and you just watch movies all the time. But I think there has to be some sort of, you know, right now it's just the honor system.
Yeah. And also, I'm not a fan of the preferential ballot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like it rewards like the medium choice, which it seems strange because it's picked some great movies recently. But, you know, why not just vote for your winner?
Like the popular vote.
Yeah.
You know, the Hillary Clinton win.
Yeah. I'm also not a fan of 10 nominees or up to 10 nominees, I should say. I just feel like when there were five, it meant more to be a Best Picture nominee.
Yep.
Now I'm like, oh yeah,
because there's the ones that are over five.
Yeah,
you're like, really?
Yeah.
You know, and I brought this up also. Is should there be a first time director Oscar?
I don't know. I'm not opposed to it.
Yeah. You know, I go back and forth.
Yeah.
I think it would bring more diversity and more inclusion because the first time directors are a new generation who are making those kind of movies. But then, you know, it's the Oscars.
Yeah. And if we're going to be adding awards to that show, I'd rather add a casting award.
Casting, I would love to see voice work.
Oh.
Voice acting.
You're absolutely right.
I really would love to see that. And the first time Oscar, you know, like someone said to me, well, if it is that good of a picture, why can't it be in the Best Picture race? The problem is that smaller film is never going to be part of the conversation. And then people say, well, the Independent Spirit Awards. That's what the Independent Spirit Awards are for. Issue with the Independent Spirit Awards is they're on Saturday. On Sunday are the Oscars. By Monday, unfortunately, people have forgotten about the Spirit Awards.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they reward great filmmakers and filmmakers who've gone on to win Oscars. But put an award show before Saturday.
I know.
It's so strange. It's so strange, and I still don't get why they do that. I think if they did it the weekend before, but there are so many award shows at this point.
So many. Just this Saturday alone. I'm looking at how many shows there are.
I have public thing. Like, could you send someone? I'm like, we're out of people.
we literally run out of people in LA.
And by the way, it's Sundance this weekend. So a lot of our film people are at Sundance. So anyway, the Oscars are on February 9th. They're on ABC.
I'm sure you'll be there in the room.
Maybe.
Yeah, you totally are. That's fine. I'll be at home in my pajamas.
I will be watching your tweets, of course, and I want to see what stuffed animal your dog attacks this time.
Oh my gosh. So I've had this Okja doll for like a year, and Wilbur just suddenly before the SAG Awards went up and started playing with it and tore it apart. And I was like, Parasite's going to win. That's the Bong Joon-ho sign.
Okay. So this is what I want you to do when you go home. I want you to get. An Al Pacino,
get like a toy soldier.
A Joe Pesci. A toy. So like, what are the other ones that...
A rabbit.
We haven't even talked about Jojo Rabbit. Rabbit. Let's see.
Yeah. See what he goes for?
Yes.
My goodness.
That would be funny, actually.
It's about time I put him to work for me, so...
That's right. You know what? Well, a long time ago, I had a dog, and my dog actually had an agent.
Get out.
For a minute.
Did you get bitter when it would, like, book, or...?
No. What happened was, he got this... I can't even believe we're going here. He got this campaign on spec... for Coach, And no. He was just a wild dog, and he goes into this, you know, they're shooting the campaign, and he doesn't sit still, but there are Jack Russells there that are, like, train and, like,
yes,
sit up. My dog wouldn't, but everyone's like, your dog should model, your dog should model. And there was actually an agency in New York, and they call me, like, could you go on a casting for, and I'm like, I'm working, I'm not going on a casting. Yeah. I'm not becoming a momager to my dog. So we didn't take it very far.
Oh, what could have been.
What could have been.
Think about that.
I know. Well, Janelle, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm sure we're going to be talking a lot more between now and then. And then talking after the Oscars, too.
Yes, from the beach in Mexico.
That's right.
You're taking a much-deserved vacation.
Yes, 2 days after we ship the post-Oscar issue of Variety, I'm going to Mexico. I'm going to breathe a little bit. I'm not going to think about movies.
Good for you. I'm going to Maui.
You're going.
Yeah.
Oh, hello. You're going to be on the beach. I'm actually not going to be on the beach. I'm going to be with family. But still, we all need a break. And that said, I'm not complaining because we really can't complain about what we do.
Yeah.
Because that sounds really gross if we complain about it, I think. Anyway.
Oh, I have to watch movies.
Right, I have to watch movies. I have to go to award shows. But so thanks for listening to this week's Big Ticket. Thank you, Janelle, for being here.
Anytime.
And see you at the Oscars.
Well, I won't see you. You'll be in the actual ceremony. I'll be at home.
Bye. That was my chat with Janelle Riley, Variety's deputy awards editor. Thanks for listening to The Big Ticket, Variety and iHeart's movie podcast. I'm your host, Mark Malkin. Don't forget to follow along for all your entertainment news at variety.com and follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Mark Malkin. See you next time.